Welcome to Synthaholics. You are here with Darren Lee?
Yes, that's a Tuvix joke if Holly, David, and Aaron were all one person.
It would be a weird combination.
That would be a very strange combination.
Will we just have one boob right in the middle since we're only one third Holly?
And I get to be the feet. As long as I can do that.
You want to control where we're going?
Yes.
Oh man, that's weird. So like the lower half is Aaron and the upper half is a split between me and Holly.
Do I get to control the mouth?
Maybe half the time.
Half the mouth. We have to agree on the dicks we're sucking.
Jesus.
Do we have to like Rochambeau? We each get an arm.
Oh my god!
Best out of three.
Well, why don't we really introduce who we are, Dave?
Oh yeah, I'm David Duncan,
and I'm Aaron O'Brien.
I'm Holly Michelle,
and we are Synthaholics combined.
We are Synthaholics combined, and I'm back. Those Fern Gully space herpy things were awful. Yeah. You wouldn't believe the amount of pus that comes out of those.
Yeah, I can imagine. When you pop, you pop an avatar.
When you pop an avatar genital wart. Mm.
Oh. What does that look like?
It looks like an avatar, but just really small and round.
Oh, okay. All right.
Would you want to date that avatar? That's the real question.
Not that one. No.
Typically, the herp is a no date list kind of.
That's a no date list type thing. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You could get yourself in trouble.
Mm. Well, that's unfortunate.
Well, Dave, we're glad you're back.
Did you miss me?
The jokes are a little raw right out the gate, but yes.
Yeah, I'm out of practice. It's been 2 weeks out of practice, guys. Sorry.
He was having withdrawals, I'm sure.
I know. Yes.
I missed you guys very, very much.
Well,
but you guys did great. The episodes were fantastic. And Holly, you did a great job editing. Thank you so much, guys. It was awesome.
Aw, thank you.
Yes, Holly rise to the occasion and edited the hell out of those.
Yeah, woo! She did great.
Seriously, the last episode, I hardly had to edit anything. Aaron and I, we were just on point.
Just on point. Just like...
Yeah.
She just muted me half the time.
Right.
I'll have to mute myself for this one. That'll make it sound like the last couple weeks.
We don't need him anymore. It's just me.
Power trip.
Oh, man. That's great. So, you guys were, in fact, right. We are doing The Visitor, Deep Space Nine, Season 4, Episode 2?
Yeah.
3.
Episode 3.
You're right.
We're doing this because I had the occasion to meet Tony Todd at Nickel City Con 2019, and I have to moderate his panel, and I did not bring Axanar up during the panel because I felt that was a little bit too inside Star Trek for your average congoer. So we decided, we talked about it afterwards, and I was like, hey, I got my recorder, you want to talk about this and what we talked about on the panel a little bit for my podcast? And he said, sure, I'll answer any question you got. So I do have a few minute clip of Tony Todd, and then we'll get into The Visitor after we hear what Tony Todd had to say, and to kind of discuss that a little bit.
Enjoy.
Very cool. Can't wait to hear it.
Hey guys, we're here with Tony Todd. We're at Nickel City Con this weekend. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing good. It's Sunday. It's the third day of the con. People come by and been happy, and it's time for this little kitty cat to go home.
Yeah, getting is it going to be a restful weekend? Oh, like week or are you getting back to work?
No, work. I'm off Monday, but then I got to go back to work. But it's fine. Yeah.
Sounds
it's
good. Fine.
It's just a flight that's long.
Oh, you get a bunch of layovers?
Got to go through Charlotte.
Oh, yeah.
And then all the way across. I get home by, I'll be in my house by midnight.
Oh, that's a long, long day traveling. Well, we did a panel yesterday, and
it went really well. Thank you for assisting that.
Oh,
appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, we had some good laughs and good rapport with the audience.
Good.
It was a lot of fun. We didn't get into Axnar, but you brought it up kind of after. It was something you were really passionate about. First of all, before we get into all the other stuff.
Because, you know what? I don't like charlatans, and I don't like crooked paths that people take when it's not necessary, you know, and the people that were responsible for that fiasco know who they are. I came aboard because of Christian Gossett, who wrote and directed the Axanar short. We are still friends. As a matter of fact, he has a new project that he wants me to consider, but the people that were at so-called head, they kept doing crowdfunding, getting their what their requested goal, and then doing another crowdfunding campaign is inexcusable. And now they're not putting it into the film, and the film not getting made. Then we have the subsequent lawsuit, and at the end of the day, Paramount issues a decree which makes it impossible for other fan-generated fan films to be made. That's abominable, okay?
Absolutely.
Not to mention using people's likenesses as merchandise perks for people to give this man money, which was my face. So that person knows who they are and know that what they can do with themselves.
Yeah. It's just, I've seen a lot of negative stuff about it. A lot of it's been from the fans, but I've never spoke with anyone involved with it before. So it's bad on your guys' end as well.
I didn't have anything to do with it.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, like, a lot of the fans were kind of upset. Some people are totally for it, some people are totally against it, so it's just interesting hearing
for?
It. Some people still want to see his stuff. I mean, I saw on scrolling through this morning on Facebook that he's got a Patreon for them to give money to their studios so they can try to keep doing it.
Okay, good luck with that.
Yeah,
good luck with that.
I'm surprised people still want to
support
that.
There are too many untalented, incompetent people in Hollywood as it is for one more to grace the fight. But they know who they are. So
yeah.
I don't need to mention their damn name, nor will I.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things you also mentioned yesterday in the panel, you said The Visitor was particularly important. Important to you?
Yes.
Could you talk to Melissa a little bit more about that?
Well, I was rescued by my aunt, age three, and it was me and her throughout life, and she was instrumental for filling my mind with imaginative needs and wants, and making sure every summer I was in a different kind of program, from the Boy Scouts to geology studies to acting. When I finally got involved in Star Trek, it was special for us because we used to watch the original shows again and then talk about the morality issues that it brought up. She passed away in 94, and I was inconsolable, but finally, out of the blue, they sent me the script to The Visitor, and it was like she was telling me to, it's time to get up, go back to work, and just keep honoring me through your excellence in life. And that's all I've been trying to do. So The Visitor has a little bit of her spirit in it. I try to duplicate some of her hand gestures and mannerisms and, you know, give homage to parents and children's bond.
Absolutely. And it was a very powerful episode of for you as an older Jake and between Avery Brooks.
Yeah.
How was it working with Avery Brooks?
Oh, we knew each other.
Oh.
We knew each other from the theater world.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you were saying theater is one of your big passions, for, more so than doing film
more
or TV.
So than anything.
Yeah. And that's how you got your start, doing...
Well, you can start doing film and never do stage, which will never be a full actor if you haven't done theater.
If you haven't done stage.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And
then your acting is based on personality. It will be personality driven as opposed to developing a character and driving that through.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the other things you mentioned is you didn't read the script. You didn't get the chance to read the script for your last time
right,
as Kern.
Sons of Moog.
Yeah, Sons of Moog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you which said, I wouldn't have done had I read it, because not for me, but for my brother, because it goes completely against every aspect of the Klingon code. You don't do that. You don't erase the Klingon warrior's memory, who particularly abuse your brother.
Yeah.
Shouldn't happen.
Although Worf said questionable things before in the past, where he asked the Riker to kill him, then asked his son to kill him.
No, that's Worf's problem.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Tony.
He's my beloved brother, and I will always honor and respect him. And then I might kill him.
Then you might kill him. Especially if it's a ritual or something.
Yes.
Well, with the Picard show taking place in the future, any chance we'll see Rodak again?
I don't know, but that was certainly a surprise that he would want to come back and do it. I mean, I thought he was closed the chapter on that, but, you know, I guess money talks.
Yeah, I guess
and,
so.
You know, I know the fans would be happy for yet another iteration.
I'd love to see Rodak again.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll see what happens, man. I got so much on my plate right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I got two movies coming up. I got a whole bunch of television series I'm working on.
So much stuff.
The Netflix animated series.
Oh, yeah.
You see.
Very busy.
Yeah, but busy is good.
Absolutely. You
know, trust me, even though it sounds busy, I do have days off. I'm good.
Yeah.
I have a wonderful life.
That's awesome.
I get to go home and go to my cats. Wake them up.
You got cats?
Yeah.
How many?
Well, two now. We just lost our older cat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Taddy Nico. He was 18 years old.
Wow. That's pretty good.
He had a good life.
Good life, yeah.
He was a good friend.
Yeah, I bet.
Life goes on.
Yes, sir. Well, Tony, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure. You were an admirable host, and we did a great job yesterday. Congratulations. Continued success with your Star Trek podcast.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks a lot.
That was Tony Todd and me at Nickel City Con.
Wow, what a great interview.
You missed an opportune time to live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper one and all? No. That's the show ending. We're still at the beginning of the show, guys.
Let's wrap it up. So that's great. Wow, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was super interesting. I guess that some of the people involved are as upset or more upset than us, the fans, are, which is eye-opening to me.
Yeah. Yeah, the Axanar thing, he really is not happy with a certain someone.
He who shall not be named, Voldemort, I think it was.
Yes, Voldemort. But, yeah, I mean, I understand. I mean, there's definitely was some shady stuff and some weird stuff that went on. And, you know, we were all kind of, at first, I think, I mean, I know I was, you know, whatever that was, 2-3 years ago, I was definitely more on the Axanar side. Because I just felt like it was like, you know, a CBS and Paramount just, you know, coming down hard on the little guy. But when more information came out, you realize that, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely. And the fact that Tony was so upset about it, too, it's just like, wow, like just the shadiness of it all, even from their perspective, too, is just it's super eye opening to me.
Yeah.
About how that process went and that even some of the people involved with it are really upset about it.
Yeah. So. And, you know, I mean, like that was, 3 years ago or whenever that was when that first stall started coming out, the Axanar project, and we were all like, oh, my God, it's going to look great. It's awesome. And then that was even before Discovery was even talked about.
Yeah, it's before we knew Discovery was coming. Although it's just super ironic that Discovery was also going to handle, because we were theorizing if Discovery was on them because they were going to do a Klingon War thing, and they did. And then the Picard show sounds a lot like Renegades if that leaked information is true. That information could be totally false because I've heard some questionable things about it. But if it ends up being like that description, it's very Renegades-y sounding. So it seems like they're kind of like picking up on what the fan films are trying to drop, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's is interesting. And then he just went into the visitor, as you mentioned, because he talked about that in the panel, correct?
Yeah, I brought up stuff we spoke about in the panel. I think someone else asked him a question about the visitor, and from the audience at the con.
Gotcha.
And so I was just kind of retreading some of the things we talked about because I wanted to get it on air for the audience to hear here at Synthaholics. So I wanted to bring up some of those things we talked about at the panel because he mentioned about his aunt who raised him and how doing the visitor was super important for him. So I wanted to get that recorded.
Which I think is just so sweet.
Yeah, yeah. And she died, just before all that?
I guess he said 94, so I'm guessing it's a little bit before they did the visitor. So it just, he said the visitor kind of like helped get him out of the depression or whatever he was in. And it just kind of like breathed new life into him, I guess, after the horrible, you know, tragedy of losing his aunt who raised him.
Wow. That's, yeah, I mean, it's cool that he could play, pay tribute to her, you know, that, and it's documented on a show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool that he could do that.
He tried to pick up her hand mannerisms and tried to incorporate them into the character of Jake as an older Jake, and I thought that was really cool.
Right.
So that was really neat. And then, you know, interesting his take on the Picard show because the fact that he was not happy about Sons of Moog and how his character got his mind erased and became Rodek.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
Because I was trying to ask him about Star Trek Online because they brought him back to record lines as Rodek, and he kind of didn't want to talk about it. He was very upset about not being Kern anymore.
Yeah. So, yeah, it sounded like he was a little upset about that.
Yeah, he didn't seem happy that they changed his character and that he had to abandon his brother Worf because his brother erased his memory. Although Worf is super questionable as a Klingon, so I mean, it doesn't really surprise me the things Worf does because he's super. Klingons wouldn't do that, but he does all these other things Klingons wouldn't really do.
But I'll do it.
We always talked about how Worf holds Klingons in this really high esteem when he's like, he doesn't even really know what it's like. He's like, Klingons are honorable and really good and all this stuff like that. And he's like, no, I don't think Klingons know what honor means.
It reminds me of, because I'm Irish, it's like an Irish, American-Irish who's never been to Ireland and taking on the persona of an Irish person. never actually being in Ireland. So it's like, you know, I've known Irish, you know, Americans that are like that. I'm like, dude, you don't know what it's like to be Irish, you know, in Ireland, you know, it's a totally different thing. So,
yeah.
And they idealize that whole thing. I always thought it was funny. So it's like, and maybe if you lived there for a few years or, you know, got the feel of it, but anyways,
it was just a great opportunity getting to meet and speak with Tony Todd. And I was so glad he was offering to speak on the podcast because he got super animated about Axadar, and one of the guys who actually runs the con noticed and was like, hey, what was he getting so upset about? I was like, yeah, he's just a Star Trek fan film thing. He's like, oh, okay, because he had no idea what I was talking about. Which is why I didn't want to talk about Axadar in the panel because I didn't want to make Tony upset, and also, like, it's like I said, it's a little bit too inside Star Trek for the average con-goer.
Yeah.
For some people.
Because most people were probably there to... Because they follow him from Candyman, and he's been in The Rock with, you know, Sean Connery. He's been in so many different things. Final Destination.
Sure.
Yeah. He's known for a lot of stuff, a lot of horror, a lot of gangster type films. So like his Star Trek stuff. There's a couple people who asked him Star Trek questions, but most people are asking him questions about his other work.
Yeah, right. Well, that's cool. I'm glad you got a chance to talk to him.
And because we talked to him and the visitor was so important to him, I thought we'd revisit the visitor.
Yeah, and it was an awesome episode.
It's a very emotional episode.
Yeah, really well done. And I like it way better than I thought it did. I think the reason, like, I always, Aaron was like, you hate this episode. I think I never paid attention to, like, the story of it too goodly because I was like, oh, it's not very Star Trek-y. So I kind of tuned it out. But, like, really focusing on it this time, it's a really good episode.
It's not, I don't know if it really has to, I mean, other than the sci-fi aspect of it, it's not like, it could be in any franchise. It's basically a father and son.
It's a father-son story, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So this is The Visitor. It's like we said before, this is season 4, episode 3, and it first aired October 9th, 1995. And we could start off in Louisiana, in the bayou, near New Orleans. And it's a stormy night, and we see Tony Todd as an elderly Jake Sisko, and somebody knocks on the door, and this is Melanie.
It's the visitor.
Is it Visitor?
Surprise, surprise.
Is it the Nana Visitor? No.
Yeah, it's not Nana Visitor. But anyways, but Melanie is a huge fan of Jake Sisko, the writer, and she wants to be a writer.
The writer. Are there no authors in the future?
Well, you know. Does author mean you have to be published, right?
I guess, but he was published.
No. You wouldn't call someone who writes newspaper articles an author, would you?
They could author an article.
But he wrote novels.
I don't know. Maybe it's a potato-potato thing.
Yeah, it could be. But, so she wants, she's an aspiring writer or author, and she really loves what his works that he's done before. But
his whole two books.
But he only produced a handful, like a collected stories, and then his one big novel. And she wanted to know why. He stopped writing, and had to do with the death of his father, Benjamin Sisko, and that's where we kind of get like, what?
Well, the succubus never came back and visited me to get more stories out of me.
I know.
The space succubus.
Yes, I know. She never happened because, but that was the book that she was writing.
Anselm, yeah, like he wrote half of Anselm with the brain succubus.
Yes, right.
It was funny to me that they mentioned that he wrote it at that desk because he wrote part of that on the ship, on the station.
Right, but wouldn't have happened yet, right?
I can't remember what season that is. I feel like the episode is before this one, but I'm not sure. I'll have to look it up.
Okay, you're probably right. Jake explains to Melanie that, hey, after losing my mother, it was just me and my dad, and, you know, we grew really close, and we were going to – he was concerned because I was stuck on this writing that I was doing, and he wanted me to get out of my head for a little bit and come see this.
Come live the real world.
Yeah, so apparently the wormhole was going to undergo some inversion, a rare anomaly that has temporal fluxations, and it happens every 50 years.
The Muse actually happens season 4, episode 21.
Oh, so it happens later.
Yeah. Different timeline, so
never would have met her.
Yeah.
But so during that time, they go on to the Defiant, and they're going to go basically just monitor it and see what they can find for this what happens here. So for the wormhole.
It only happens once every 50 years. Jake, get your head up from the desk and come to the bridge with me. Have some gumbo.
Some gumbo.
Okay, Dad.
So Jake is still in his room writing, and Sisko keeps coming down going like, are you going to come up and check this out? And then finally he says, come on, let's just do this. And he's ready to go up to the bridge with him when all of a sudden the ship starts shaking around, and he has to
shake it around, shake it up. Hey, Daddy, and then, do women have wormholes?
Not them got a wormhole, son. And he goes to he says that the engineering, there's an issue, so he has to run down there, and all the engineers are knocked unconscious, and the warp core is going to go critical, and they can't eject the warp core.
I think I'll follow Daddy this time, even though he told me to stay in my room.
I just want to write, but I'm going to follow him. So he runs down there anyways, and he helps his dad, and there's a discharge when he tries to stabilize the warp core.
Hey, Dad, what's that thing you want look like that you're asking me to grab that I've never studied before? What's that toy look like?
I said it's the interphasic condensator.
Does it look like a dildo?
No. So he... he plugs it in, and like I said, he stabilizes the warp core, but at the last minute, Sisko is shot with some energy burst, and he disappears. He's vaporized.
Daddy, where'd you go, Daddy?
So next we have memorial service, and everyone's talking about Cisco, obviously.
But I couldn't stand there. I had to leave. I couldn't hear them talking about my daddy no more.
He stayed. He just didn't say anything.
I don't want to say anything about my dad.
Because there's so much more to say about him. He tells me about woman's wormholes and all the other stuff that I don't know as a young child.
Why are you turning him into the water boy?
Because he's from Louisiana, boy. Because we always do the daddy Jake and Cisco thing, me and Aaron do. That's our running joke for Jake Cisco episodes.
So anyways, but Jake is inconsolable. After the
I laid my head on Dax's lap, and it still made me sad for some reason, Daddy.
So Jake is trying, you know, like Nog tries to do stuff with him, and everyone's trying to get him to cheer up and try to do more stuff, and he wants to go to
Nog. I don't want women to chew food and spit it in my mouth. I'm not a seagull.
So he even defers his Pennington School admittance on Earth. That's where he always wants to go, but he just doesn't want to leave the station. I think it's familiar and reminds him of his father, so he wants to stay there.
I will go back to the ship my mama died on, but it's floating in space, a ship wreckage.
She's all rotten. And so anyways, the Klingons at that time, apparently, they take over Deep Space Nine because of the death of Sisko. The Bajorans and the Cardassians enter some kind of defense pact against the Klingons, which is hard to believe that they would even work together. I would think the Cardassians and the Klingons would work together.
But, yeah, it's interesting. The whole Dominion War thing doesn't work exactly the way it did and as we know it comes out. It's very different. Although, presumably, the Dominion has infiltrated the Klingon Empire, and that's why the Klingons are taking over Deep Space Nine. And because, I mean, we do know that they took over a bunch of people in the Klingon Empire later on in season, like, 4 or 5, I think.
Yeah, it's a different change of events than what we see happen in the mainstream timeline of Deep Space Nine. Things have changed, and they, with the Klingons, are going to take over Deep Space Nine, and they have to basically evacuate the station. So after that, they are during that time period, Jake does see his father show up in his bedroom or in his living quarters.
Daddy, not now. I'm checking off.
I was thinking there were so many things, like, could you imagine if he was in the bathroom?
Daddy, I'm taking a dump.
I'm having LASIK surgery. All the things that could go wrong. But anyways.
I'm humping my girlfriend, Daddy. My Nog girlfriend. I put a wig on.
But, oh, no. Not Nog. Don't do that to Nog. So his dad dad shows up once, and he thinks it's just a dream, and even he mentions it, people kind of dismiss it. But then next his dad shows up, and he's in the infirmary, so they can actually check out what's going on, and they're trying to stabilize him, keep him in their universe, but somehow
he's just been for a year. Where you been for a year, Daddy?
Floating in space.
You've been hanging out with those clicky aliens from the Schisms episode, Daddy? Hanging out in subspace?
I'm just all by myself.
Did they cut off your penis like they did to Riker?
No, but I hang out in that big white area that Q hangs out with.
You've been punching Q for a whole year?
A whole year, son. Punch him straight in the face. And
he'll go, so, Dad.
But so
no, he just, time has passed for him.
Yeah, he doesn't realize that time has passed until they tell him it's been months and months since they last saw him.
Punch and cue. You just feel like no time is going on.
And so he disappears, and obviously Jake's really upset when that happens. And from there we get the story where Jake decides that he he's going to move on with his life.
Isn't it this point where the Klingons actually take over the station?
Yeah, they take over the station. They have to evacuate. And he moves back to Louisiana. And this is where he gets married to his wife, Corinna. And they have a nice home. They have a nice life. She's a painter. He's a writer. He's writing, and she's doing her paintings, and they're very happy. And then we even get Nog stops by at some point, and they have like a little get together.
A toast.
And but of course, again, his father shows up again, and his wife Corinna gets to meet Ben Sisko, and it's funny. Sisko's takes it all in stride. It's kind of funny if you think about it. He's like, first it's only been like now you're all grown up and this is my wife.
You're married.
You know? And here's all his books he wrote, you know, and his dad's very proud of him and he's very happy for him and he says he wants grandchildren. So
make sure to throw the wormhole.
And then he disappears.
I told you about the wormhole, son. So they decided, so he disappears again, and obviously he's upset as usual. He's that his father, and he decides that he's going to give up writing altogether, and he's just going to focus on subspace.
I'm learning to do science, Daddy. I'm going to make you proud in science, Daddy.
And he gives up writing altogether, and unfortunately, his devoting himself so much to learning, he actually, his wife ends up alienating her, and she ends up leaving. So by the time he gets his PhD,
he never finished that third book for her to do the cover art for. She was so excited, she left him for it.
That's right. I was looking forward to it.
Would you guys leave your spouse?
No.
Because, like, care. I wouldn't. Like, I think that it was so fucked up. Like,
well,
I would not leave Michael if he was.
Bajorans aren't very supportive people, if we've learned anything from Major Kira.
It's all courting. I mean, we're going off big, you know, swaths of years, so we don't know. You know, maybe he's just was totally not around. And, who the hell knows? I mean, there's a lot of things that could have happened. Maybe he became really abusive. Jake, we don't know. Maybe he's a complete asshole.
Well, started beating her with his books. Whoa, stop it. I got to find my daddy. I got to science.
But
wanted me to science, and I spent all my time writing books, wasting time.
And, but, you know, maybe she was just a bad person. So who
maybe she's related to Kira. You know, who knows? I mean, Kira bounced between like how many guys in the run of Deep Space Nine?
Yeah, I know. She was all over the place. So after that, we get the whole scene where they are going to take the Defiant, and she tells her that the wormhole where the 50 years is up and it's going to happen again. The inversion thing with the wormhole. So Nog is captain now. He pulls the Defiant out of mothballs, and he gets Dax and Bashir. And
this made me so sad because we know Dax dies in a couple of years, and like Dax got to live a full life in this other timeline. Sisko living kills Dax.
Something about it does it, right? For sure. So they go, and he's got it all figured out how he's going to get his father back. So in the engine room, his dad shows back up, and they have the whole system, and he actually gets sucked into the space where his dad's at. And he's frantic to try to get Sisko pulled out of the subspace world or wherever he is, this universe that he's in. And unfortunately, they can't do this, and he gets pulled out. So Jake's gets pulled back into the reality, back on the Defiant, and his father's still stuck in this weird subspace
limbo
world. So, and of course he's more upset than ever. And,
Daddy, so, where'd I go this time, Daddy?
So he goes back home, and this is where we kind of do the wrap up with Melanie. She's he says, "Hey, I did start writing again.
Here's Melanie, some old spent the night." Mm-hmm.
He did. She did spend the night. Yeah, she did spend the night because it was morning.
Could you make an old man that. Happy one last time? I'm about to snap the timeline back to make you not bored, so you might as well finish me off one last time.
So Melanie sees his manuscripts that he was writing on, his current writings, and she asks if she can actually take it. And he says, "Well, it's got all my notes." And he's like, she wants it like that so she can actually
see his process.
See his process and see how to become a writer. So,
won't matter, I'm deleting you.
Yeah, you're all just nothing's going to happen a little bit. So she leaves, and then at the last, he sits down with his other manuscript that he has kind of more typed out, and he wakes up and his dad's there with him, looking at him, at this old man Jake, and he gives him the new writings, and it's the inscription is to my father who's coming home, and. He loves it, and he basically just tells him that he was the reason Jake was the reason he's anchored, and he can pull back into different times, into his time, back and forth.
So when I die, you'll go back to the past, and if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge an electrical beam from the warp core.
That's right. If you can dodge that bolt coming out of the warp core, you'll make it.
We won't do this loop again. Please, for the love of God, dodge that loop.
So sure enough, he does die, and then obviously Cisco's upset they would even do this, but hey, you know, he's been doing this, trying to get his father back for this long. Might as well do what he can right now. So he says we get a second chance. So they're back on the Defiant all of a sudden, and he jumps out of the way of that bolt of electricity or energy, and obviously he doesn't get disintegrated or pulled into subspace or whatever.
Right.
And he hugs Jake, and he's like,
Jake's like, you know, how'd you know how to do that, Daddy?
My son told me. So, and that's the that's kind of the end of it.
You got another son, Daddy?
And,
does Mama
you even see
know?
The look.
Oh, wait, Mama's not with us no more.
But you can see that Cisco knows that what happened. Like, it's still in his head fresh. So he knows he saw all that these things, even though they were brief windows for him. So,
yeah.
But it was a very interesting episode. So the episode wraps up there. Dave, you want to talk about the Visitor?
Yeah, it was a really good episode. I guess I just didn't really pay attention to how the time snap back before, like I was saying at the beginning. I just didn't really care for it because it's so much like storytelling in the episode, which I guess is a point since Jake's a storyteller. And it's just a really well thoughtful done episode, and it got me way more in the feels than it ever did ever before in any of the other times I ever saw the episode. So it was definitely very well done, way more meaningful after speaking with Tony Todd and you know, what this episode means to him and his life and how, you know, his real life kind of shaped how he played the character of the older Jake Sisko. And it's so, so very impactful and so very interesting to watch with this new perspective. And I hope you guys will go and watch the episode with this perspective from hearing from the words of Tony Todd himself. I think it changes things a little bit. It did for me. I hope it changes it for you as well. What about you guys? Mm-hmm.
I always love this episode. I thought it was really well done. And it, like I said, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Star Trek episode or Deep Space Nine episode. It's just it's obviously a father and son story. And I thought the acting on a lot of basically for Avery Brooks and Tony Todd and for I mean, just everyone's acting is really well done on how they deliver their lines and how they emote the feelings that they should be feeling during this, you know, what they're going through. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was a wonderful episode. I I don't know. It was, the funny thing was, I saw, Dave, that this show was up for a Emmy for its makeup.
And oh, wow.
You know what beat it?
Avatar?
Nope. Thresholds.
What? No. Yeah. The Threshold makeup was... Tom Paris losing his tongue was pretty good.
Yeah.
Just the giant lizard... just a giant lizard... salamander things are pretty awful, but I guess that wasn't makeup. That was just a prop.
I know, it was funny. I was just like, what? So anyways, but no, I enjoyed this episode, and I definitely hit me really hard a couple times this episode while I'm watching it. So I've seen it quite a few times actually before. I can't remember how many times I've watched this episode, but it was good to watch it again.
For me, it's been years since I've seen it. I mean, since before we started the show, I think. Because I was rewatching DS9 and Voyager before we started the show. I'm pretty sure I got beyond it. But, so it's been at least four years since I've seen the episode, at least.
Yeah. What about you, Holly?
I loved it. Thought it was beautifully done, and it was a nice story. It definitely made you feel things. And again, like you said, you know, the acting was on point, and definitely, you know, listening to what Tony had to say, it was impactful in his life, and I'm sure it, you know, it's got a good message. And again, you could pull that out today and say, get your nose out of your phones, you know, and live your life, you know.
Sure.
You gotta, if I mean, granted, it's kind of the point of it, but, you know, I don't know. I liked it. It was really good. And, there was something else I wanted to say about it, but I don't recall what it was.
I enjoyed this episode, and I think you're right. It's like, I mean, some of the messages, obviously, you know, get out of your own head or whatever you're doing. Like you said, phones or whatever you're doing.
Experience life.
Experience life, but also appreciate the people who are there with you.
Yeah.
At that very moment. It's something I definitely try really hard to do, especially with my children, is I try to put down my phone, and I try to, you know, even, you know, leave it in the other room and, you know, just spend time and, you know, talk with them, play with them, whatever we're doing, just I can have that moment with them and appreciate it, because I see it all the time. Unfortunately, I see a lot of parents just their nose in their phone and not paying attention to their kids, and the same thing, even kids doing the same thing, you know, they got their phones or tablets or whatever, and they're just
doing their own thing,
and they're not talking. One thing I noticed, I remember, was at a coffee shop, and like there's like, I mean, I'm older, but I'm noticing there's like all like young, attractive people, and none of them are talking to each other. You know, it's like, you people should be like, you know, getting to know each other. What's going on here? You're all sitting there on your phones the whole time. It's like, that's terrible. It's that's a travesty. You know,
we're lowering the population to none after this generation.
I know. Everyone on their phones all the time.
Well, birth rates are going down.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Well, no doubt. If everyone's on their phone all the damn time, or if they're doing anything else. But
no, it's like I don't want to say selfish, but it kind of is. The millennials are less likely to want to have kids because they want to, you know, experience their lives with their spouse or with their friends rather than raise a family.
Well, it's also money. That's a huge thing, because I mean, it's just like our parents had it in ways like a lot better. Like they could, one of them could just work and the other one could be a stay at home mom or stay at home dad, and like it'd be fine. Now both are working and they're just getting by barely as well as the previous generation did. Like, things cost more and we're getting paid relatively less.
Just the way wages have been static for years and years. But
it's not just being selfish. It's just like, it's just the practical,
I think,
reality, I think, of both. Things being able to afford. I mean, I'm sure it's a little bit of both, but I mean, I know
I think part of it's navel gazing. You know, people are just totally into themselves. And the other part is, you know, the economics and the social side of things.
Just look at Idiocracy, the first 5 minutes of it.
Exactly.
That's basically how I feel. It's just like, oh yeah, it's just not a great time. Money's not there. And like these were a wealthy couple. Like, they were just like they were worried about the times, you know. And then all the poor dumb people kept reading, and that's sort of where we are. Like, I feel like Idiocracy is prophecy, and we should talk about Idiocracy on the podcast at some point. That'd be great.
That's oh great. That's
totally a great science fiction movie. It's great.
I felt it's one of those things that you're never going to be ready for kids. Never. I don't care if you have, you know, a dollar in your bank account or if you got $10,000 in your bank account. You're just never going to be ready. It's just got to something you just do. The only thing, hopefully you have a spouse that's, you know, supportive and there to help you. You know, mm-hmm. That's very important. And hopefully not just a spouse, but a supportive family
network.
You know? Yeah. You know, yeah. Mothers and mother-in-laws and father-in-laws and all that stuff, because you will need them.
Absolutely.
Well, it was great. It was a good episode, and I really enjoyed it. I am kind of disappointed that Jake gave up his writing so much just to do
science.
Science. I mean, you could still write during. There's plenty of scientists that are writers.
Yeah, but you got to understand his motives behind it. You know, not only did he, you know, brush off his dad once, but he did it a second time where he accepted that he was gone and he moved on with his life and then realized, wow, he's not gone. I'm a shitty person. Now I'm going to dedicate my life to bringing it back. That's more important than writing.
So he died at a certain point and he knew he was going to come at that. Sisko was going to come when he was old man. Now what would happen if he died like 7 days later?
Well, I think the injection he was taking was to kill himself because he figured out the date and time when his dad would come back.
Yeah. What I didn't fully understand was why. I mean, it wasn't explained well, at least to me. The rubber band that he explains, you know, the tether.
Yeah.
When it slingshots him to Jake's present. He had to die with him in his presence in order for it to
break,
which I didn't really understand. But I mean, the only thing I reasoned it because, you know, I didn't reason. I just accepted it, but I just don't understand, the exact reason behind it.
Well, I think that's why I didn't like the episode for so long, is because I didn't really get that part, or maybe I just wasn't paying very good attention to it. And like, you know, you're totally right. It's super not explained great, but I guess I've just absorbed more science fiction and more Star Trek since the last time I've watched it. So now it's like, oh, okay, I kind of get what they're trying to go for. Where
right.
It's just like, it's not super well explained. But I do think that's part of the reason why I had issues with it in the past. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me. But now after Discovery, I think I can buy things a lot easier now.
Funny.
Well, yeah. I just think it's interesting because last week you guys were talking about Tuvix and like listening to Holly talk after the episode recap. You know, she was saying that, you know, it's just nice that you can watch this episode out of context, and it's like a fun little episode with a moral dilemma. And like, Discovery doesn't give that to us anymore. Discovery is going to be so hard to watch out of context.
Yeah.
Like, can you see us in 3 or 4 years talking about an episode from season one or season two of Discovery?
No.
Again,
I have a thought on that actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've been kind of like, so, since, Game of Thrones ended, I was way behind. Like, I'm like season six or something like that. And I was like, I should go back and, you know, watch to season eight, but I had to backtrack cause it'd been years since I watched. I forgot a lot, you know, honestly. So I start watching again and I was thinking about it. And it was for almost a week. I was thinking like, why is this? Why do I feel like this is so amazing when I'm watching it, and I really don't have much invested in it other than just watching a story. Compared to Discovery, when I watch Discovery, I'm always like, if they just would have done this, or they would have thought this through, or whatever, you know, I would get a little frustrated on details. And I think, and this is just me talking, of course, I think it's because George R. R. Martin, he spent years developing all those characters and that world and the world building and the, you know, the how the stories interweave
and lineage and
yeah, and everything. And where obviously Discovery was only, you know, put together within, you know, a year
if that
at most. Yeah. And I just think we just don't have the depth of that. And here we're pulling on something like
Game of Thrones. There's also been no unified vision where George R. R. Martin was the sole mastermind of it, and then they just adapted it for TV for the first six seasons, and then after that it's been fan fiction.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think one of the reasons I maybe why it's so fragmented compared to something like Game of Thrones. And Game of Thrones, if I probably rewatched everything, I'd probably find issues. There are some storylines that I get like, I wish this person would go away. I'm not really interested in this part of the story, you know.
Well, I'm sure some just completely peter out by the way I've heard how the last season ends. Like, they just don't follow through at all.
Yeah. But I guess that's where I was really thinking a lot about it, because I feel guilty in some ways of being so harsh about
Discovery,
but I think it's warranted sometimes.
It's
like I still feel like those people are getting nice paychecks to write. And you should think through, if I can see these things, why aren't you guys in your writer's room seeing these things?
Well, I mean, to go with what you're saying, Aaron, like, I've been kind of talking with Guy every now and then, and I told him that I'm kind of no longer excited for Picard. And yeah. I feel like I've lost faith in television/movie writers after hearing how badly Game of Thrones has ended. And this is not just hearsay. I've completely spoiled the entire last season. I haven't seen it, but I've spoiled it. I know what happens, and it does sound incredibly disappointing. Like, Discovery just... The season two started so strong. Like, it had great, like, setup, and then like when we talked with Trekyard, it's like Samuel said it well. I was like, that's what you did with these great ideas. You just didn't really do anything with them. You just kind of, like, they just petered out.
Right.
Like, they can do a great setup, but then there's just, like, no follow through, and it's just I'm just. I don't know if I'm just jaded as I'm getting older, or I just feel like maybe these TV writers are just getting lazier and lazier. And Endgame felt kind of lazy with some of the weird ways they wrote parts of it with the time travel that didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Oh yeah,
hey,
yeah.
I haven't seen Endgame.
Yeah, we won't get an Endgame. But
I just mean like some of the time travel plot, just in general, like the time travel.
I didn't know there was time travel plot. So. Shut the fuck up.
Didn't you watch the previous one? It totally... Okay, whatever. But, anyway, just the way, like, some writing goes on more recent things, and just it's just kind of making me scared for Picard and other future Star Trek, because, like, writing is kind of, like, where the problem is in most of the stuff.
Writing is the backbone.
Because the acting's there, the budgets are there for special effects to look nice. The writing is the backbone of everything, and if the writing's not there, it doesn't matter how good they... Like, Prometheus and Alien Covenant, the acting is great, the directing is great, the art design is great. The story is just not there. Yeah. And it's just more and more, like, the story is just lazy or half-assed or not even there or completely non-existent. And it's just making me scared for future things. I just feel like the art of television script writing or movie script writing is going away. And, like, look back at the 90s. Sure, there's some terrible Star Trek episodes in the 90s, but they got better as the seasons went on. And these writers were doing 20-something episode seasons, and now they're doing less than half of that with Discovery and Game of Thrones and all this stuff like that. They're doing these 10 episodes or 12 episodes or 15 episodes, and they're starting to not hold up as well.
Yeah.
And I'm just... Yeah. It makes me worried.
I do have to say, there's probably a lot right about what you're saying, but as far as like the way the writers ended Game of Thrones, there was a lot written into the story that maybe didn't foreshadow the ending, but there was definitely potential for that ending.
Oh, I'm not saying
I'm not saying
it wasn't totally foreshadowed, but and you know, I don't agree. I mean, some people just don't read into things deeply enough, but I mean, just some things I read just seemed like the Valonqar ending to that prophecy sounded like it petered out. It didn't really end the way it sounded like it was meant to. Just some other things that I read, like they were bragging for a whole year because it took 2 years for the season to come out, that they were going to do the film, the biggest and baddest, bigger than Helm's Deep battle. And then it was pitch black, so you couldn't see it anyway. So it's like, what's the point of filming it if you can't see it?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, why are you bragging about a giant battle sequence that's impossible to see unless you turn your brightness all the way up on your television? Like, it just seemed like lots of bad decisions went into the last season of Game of Thrones, just in general. Not just story, but just, like, the way they filmed it, even. Like, bad things happened in the last season from what I've read. And I totally spoiled it, so I know the whatnots, and this is not just hearsay, I read about it, like, so, you know, it's just, I don't know.
Well, I hope
Picard proves us wrong. At least Lower Decks has got the Rick and Morty writer on it, and Rick and Morty's been very well written, so hopefully, he's one of the good writers for Rick and Morty that's working on Lower Decks. I'm really hoping that'll be good, but with Picard, I don't know. I'm worried about it.
Yeah, well, we'll just have to find out, see where it all lands, you know. I'm sure we'll be wowed in the beginning, and then we'll see if they can actually deliver on a great story.
Yeah. And speaking of things setting up great and ending terribly, we're going to be doing the Matrix movies for the next 3 weeks. Talk about great setup and then like terrible execution afterwards, but I can't wait to talk about it, because the first Matrix movie was totally my jam. So excited about that.
I'm excited too. I've been wanting to have a Matrix marathon with myself forever, and now I get to do it.
Now we can do it. We'll be doing a Matrix. So if you haven't checked out the Facebook group, you should check out the Facebook group, because we've put a special request on there for you, the listener. If you have any Photoshop skills, please head on over there. There's a post that Holly Michelle made about doing some episode art for us. We're going to submit some pictures of ourselves to the group probably sometime this week, so hopefully soon, because we need 3 episode arts for the 3 Matrix movies, where you guys can Photoshop our faces, which we'll provide pictures of, and have fun.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Good way to be a part of the show and, you know, do something, you know, if Photoshop is one of your hobbies or whatnot. It'd be fun.
Yeah, we'd love to see what you guys would come up with. You know, you can make me into Trinity if you want. That'd be kind of fun.
I think David really wants that.
Make Holly into Morpheus.
Make that happen.
And Aaron into
Holly
Agent
can
Smith.
Be Neo.
Yeah.
And I'll be
Aaron
Morpheus.
Can be Morpheus. That'd be great.
Of course I'm Morpheus.
I think it'd be funny if Holly was
You know, I should have some Morpheus glasses. I didn't think about that.
You can Photoshop glasses onto us.
I'll have to get the Morpheus glasses. I'll have to track something down.
Yeah.
Or I should have like ridiculous glasses.
A photoshopper
glasses.
Could find a.
Put, find they could put glasses onto on us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could do that. It could do that. I forgot
the
about
red and
glasses.
Blue pill could be suppositories. Who knows?
Who knows? Oh my God.
Because at one point, Cypher did say something about shoving that red pill right up your ass. So I was like, you know, maybe it's a suppository. Who knows?
Cypher's an asshole.
Oh, man. Well, I'm excited to talk about The Matrix. Oh, man. I haven't seen those movies in such a long time. It'd be fun to revisit them.
For sure. Absolutely. So should we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's do it. So that was The Visitor and a whole bunch of other random musings. You can check out the show at SynthaHolics.com. You can join the Facebook group at Facebook.com/groups of SynthaHolics. That's where you can find that info on the Matrix stuff and do a Photoshop of us if you so feel inclined. Our music is funded by Warp 11 and our intro is done by Dave Wilkes. Warp 11, you can find online at Warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. The rest of us, you can find on Twitter at the shows at SynthaHolic Duo. I personally am at David_J_Duncan. Aaron's at Blackbird 2004 and Holly's at Lunar Thistle.
And please rate and view us on Apple iTunes. Give us 5 stars and say something nice so other people can see us in the Apple algorithms. And also, if you could please go to our Patreon, Patreon.com/Synthaholics. Throw us money our way. That helps us basically update our equipment. And all sorts of other stuff that needs it. It's constantly keeps breaking. That was greatly appreciated. Keeps the show running. And great way to support the show is just to tell a visitor, someone who shows up at your house.
In the middle of the night looking for writing advice. Who spends the night for some strange reason.
Because if somebody did that, you probably would be a little dubious. Just give them our show and they'll know. Know what to do after that. Leave.
Just blast our show and they'll leave.
That'd be hilarious.
Why are you doing this to me? Yeah, I was listening.
I was walking on the bike path and people started walking away from me. It was great.
You guys aren't selling people on your show right now.
That's our show, Holly.
If they got this far.
They're great.
Not a good marketing strategy you got going on.
Hey, we're doing all news is good news, right? Or all press is good press? I don't know. What is it?
No.
within degrees.
Yeah. Well, we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Check out all those things, please. And I'm glad to be back. Sorry if I'm rough this week. I'm 2 weeks out of practice. I'm so sorry, guys.
Get back in practice.
Yeah, dude. I need to get someone with a whip behind me. Since, like I said, Guy Davis should have someone with a whip to play me the last couple weeks. But
you would like it.
Yeah. Oh my. Oh my. Indeed. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper. What else? And thank you, Aaron and Holly. Thank you for running the show for a couple weeks without me. It was great hearing all that, all those episodes, all the fun Avatar and Tuvix stuff. It was great.
Yeah.
Very welcome. It was fun.
Awesome, guys. Well, we're going to be back next week with The Matrix. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink and we'll cry till we laugh and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. That was the show. Woohoo! I'm excited too. That's awesome.
Thank you.
An hour and 1 minute. That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
That's cool.
Yeah. Shorter episodes aren't bad.
Well, when we did Tuvix, we were like, after doing Avatar, we were like, well, there's not really,
not really much to talk about. Although it'll probably be longer with The Matrix and The Matrix Revolutions and The Matrix Reloaded.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Movies always get longer.
Yeah. There's a lot more to talk about and unpack.
Oh man, I forgot the Jake Sisko stuff. Because Jake Sisko's future pretty much ends up the exact same because his dad turns into a prophet and leaves.
All right, yeah.
He pretty much abandons him three years later, right? So it's just his life probably ends up the same.
He might have matured during that time. You never know.
You never know.
I wonder if he'll still have the visitor come. Maybe he'll write more than 2 books. Who knows?
I hope so. The visitor. Visitor.
What a nice lady.
What a nice little girl.
I thought she was going to kiss him whenever they were up in the upper pylon. I was like, huh.
That's cool. Kira?
Yeah, because it was all lit all dark and moody. It's like, oh. She's getting kind of close.
What's happening here? Jake, now that your father's gone.
I can take advantage of you.
So I'm so glad that didn't come to my mind at all.
Holly, we're here to help these things come to your mind.
My thing that came to my mind is when the Melanie character was in there and she said, oh, I got the new... He was going to go see my desk because he had the new manuscripts that he was working on.
Yeah.
I just thought it was like, she'd go over there and says, this is my booger collection. He's like a totally deranged old man.
Oh my god. You guys are something else.
This drawer is my boogers for over the years. My daddy told me to make a collection of something. I couldn't think of anything else to collect.
This is when I had that bad infection. It's nice and green.
Mm.
I had a bloody nose this week.
They're all on index cards.
With like dates on them and everything.
I had a science teacher who collected nail trimmings.
Oh.
And she...
Wow. She was a witch. She needed that for potions and shit.
I don't know. She brought...
May I have a lock of your hair, Holly? I'm using it for a spell incantation.
She was ugly enough to be a witch. but no, she like brought a bag, like her purse in full of candy from her house. And she put it in a bowl and she handed it to me and was like, oh, pass it around. And there was this little like dime bag size of nail trimmings, like toenail and fingernail clippings amongst the candy. So it was clearly in her purse.
Oh, it's so like, gross.
It's so weird. It was just bizarre.
Nasty.
That's uncalled for.
It's uncalled for.
She's definitely a witch.
Speaking of uncalled for.
Burn the witches!
David, I'm sorry I cursed at you about Endgame. I have successfully avoided every single trailer and everything.
It is, so gotta keep them low.
Still gotta put that free Pokemon inside.
Oh, speaking of Pokemon, I got Kaylee into Pokemon just yesterday. Uh-oh. And she's already level 20, and we ended up walking 10 miles today.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that game still going on? My kids don't play it anymore.
Huh?
My kids don't play that game anymore.
Oh, they don't? Yeah, Pokemon's still going out. There's a new Pokemon coming out for the Switch, the Nintendo Switch, in November, which I'm excited for. Kaylee also got a shiny Pokemon in less than 24 hours of playing, and I haven't gotten one shiny Pokemon in 3 years of playing, so Kaylee's beating me.
There you go.
Excellent. Yeah. Michael played for a little while. Do you know why, though?
Why?
Because he would go where like all the Pokemon were, and he would recruit kids into the Marine Corps.
Actually, that is a genius idea,
isn't it?
That's actually
you could go to other countries and get the region exclusive Pokemon, like Farfetch'd and Mr. Mime.
Yeah, you know that if he really did his homework, man, he could have really got a lot more people signed up.
Yeah, because there is like a region exclusive Pokemon to Japan. To Tauros is the United States one. Farfetch'd is Japan. I can't remember. I don't know if Mr. Mime is actually a region specific. I don't remember. He might be UK, Europe. I don't remember.
We go on Jaeger.
I don't remember.
Come on.
Yeah, they were all into it for a very long time, and they even got the little cards. And then all of a sudden, that was like not in vogue anymore.
Not so cool.
Yeah. They're like, Dad, that's baby stuff. Dad. I know.
That's not really baby stuff. I still play Pokemon.
I know. Don't worry. I'm
so excited for it. The new game. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've played Pokemon since I was older than your kids, so.
Yeah, no, I get it. No, it's one of those things that is just funny. It's just how popular something is and then just goes away.
I don't know. Like, for some people, it has gone away, and other people's, it's still going strong.
Yeah,
Pokemon is a billion-dollar business. I mean, they make so many Pokemon things. I mean, hell, Detective Pikachu, I think it's doing pretty well. I don't think it's blowing away box office records, but I'm sure it's made its money back.
Probably better than Sonic the Hedgehog.
That looks so awful.
It looks terrible.
It looks so
aren't
bad.
They? They're remastering it.
Yeah, they're already changing his look.
Yeah,
because it doesn't look like any of the games.
It's creepy. Like,
and you know he's gonna be making out with that black chick at some point in the movie.
Oh Jesus!
I don't know what black chick you're talking about.
The woman in the trailer.
I don't know.
I think she's a black chick.
I don't remember. I honestly don't even remember the trailer. I was looking at his tiny eyeballs. Like, what the fuck is this?
His eyeballs are way too small.
To quote Homer Simpson, was that cat making out with that dog? Because if he was.
No, that hedgehog's going to make him making out with a human, which is going to be super creepy.
Yeah.
because they've had him with a human love interest before in video games. I'm like, that's creepy.
That's weird.
Oh, really?
That's really fucking weird. Yes, it is. It's very weird.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't see any big news come forward. Did you?
No, not really. You guys went over a bunch of it when I was gone.
Yeah,
I haven't seen anything new on Picard since.
Yeah, nothing new on Picard, and nothing really else that's worth talking about.
No, but like most Star Trek news, something will drop tomorrow after we've recorded. Sure.
There was something in the news about Star Trek, but it was just I just saw it, an article briefly. I don't know what it was about though. It's about Discovery. I pulled Google up on my phone, and it was the first article in my search bar. But I was searching something, so I didn't look at it.
There
might be news out there.
There's definitely Discovery articles out there here and there, but
I keep seeing things on Facebook saying it's the most popular streaming service ever. It's the most watched streaming show. I'm like, is it? It's got this giant paywall that people probably don't pay for.
We don't know their metrics, so it's very difficult to know if it is or not.
Which is why I always scratch my head when I see those articles. Like, it's the most watched thing. It's super popular. I'm like, is it? They don't release that metric that we know of.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would think that Netflix would have some pretty big, shows that they produce.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You posted giant Spock meme. That's great.
The infinite Vulcan.
The talking asparagus episode.
Oh, I know.
You should link that episode in the comments.
I'll do that after we record.
That would be great. For those of you who don't know.
it was just so funny. I was like, well, I'm never going to see this meme again.
Got to put it in this group for archives for historical documents.
I know. And I put only 5% of you will understand this meme.
Yeah, I saw that. And I'm like, hopefully more, because hopefully more of them have listened to that episode, but who knows?
But that was a long time ago, Dave. It was like episode 20 or something. I don't remember. But
Agmar and me. Yeah, we recorded that in Yahoo. I think we recorded up that in the front room because the vacuum person was annoying us, so we moved up to the front. And then they still vacuumed right next to us.
Oh, I remember the vacuum.
The vacuum combined lady.
With the vacuum all
the trials of a podcast that at your workplace, the vacuum people.
The guy was just constantly vacuumed by us. Yeah.
It's like he would scope out where we were and always wait till we were in the middle to vacuum near us. No matter where we started, we moved around all the different offices.
Well, Holly, just so you know, it was like, what, 11 o'clock?
Yeah.
11 o'clock at night.
It depended on the shift. Like, sometimes it'd be 10:30, sometimes it'd be 11:30.
But depending on that. It was a giant building, so it was like you could go anywhere.
It sat really hundreds of people.
Yeah, and it's like, and sure enough, the one guy to do the vacuuming and cleaning just would find his way where we were recording.
Yeah,
and be like, get the fuck out of here, you asshole.
And the thing is, we recorded in like five or six different rooms because there was all these meeting rooms all over the building.
Yeah,
all over.
Yeah.
The only ones we didn't record in were like the downstairs ones, which we probably should have tried the downstairs ones.
You know, it's funny. We always remember him,
Mr. Nazi.
The Nazi. He came. He was like, I just heard a rumor that employees have been having sex in the back meeting room or something like that.
It was probably him. Like, and he started the
and rumor. I was like, Mark, where have you been? People have been having sex in that room forever. Like that was the biggest thing everyone always talked about. It's like, oh, go back to the back room. You know, it's like you knew people were going back there. So
ew.
Yeah, a bunch of 20-year-olds, you know.
There's always cum on the corner of the desk. It like congealed into like little stalactite.
Yeah. Well, no, the cleaner would come by. He would clean.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The cleaner would always get the pleasure of that.
Oh, remember that awesome. Weird guy, the cleaner? He used to talk to me all the time.
Yeah, I remember him.
He loved me for some reason.
He loved you. Every time I'd go to the bathroom, I'd come out and he'd be like talking to you.
I'd be like, yeah, yeah. And like
then we started going to the bathroom together, and then he'd follow us in.
He found my wallet one time, like, because I sat down in one of the chairs, and it dropped out of my pants. Mm-hmm. And he's like, is this your wallet? And I was like, oh, man, thanks, you know? And it's like, it's a magic wallet. It just returns to me. And he thought that was the funniest thing. And then I would, like, make the wallet talk to him. I was like, thank you, Jason, or something, whatever his name is. And, like, he just thought I was, like, fucking, you know, Robin Williams or something like that. Cause
comedy
just,
gold.
Oh, my God. I was like, and then I couldn't shake the guy off me. He was just, every time I walked in, like, he'd be like, hey.
Like, hey, be Robin Williams for me.
I know. Do another funny one. Anyways.
Is your wallet in the joke mood today?
And sir? Yeah, I know. Does your wallet know any jokes today? Yeah.
He probably listens to this show, and now he's like now totally he's like, offended.
Those guys.
Well, if, yeah. It's only if he gets the outtakes.
Yeah. You get that far.
Because we're still pre-show.
I don't know. Anyways.
Oh, man, that was great. The old days of the podcast. Yeah, and we actually saw each other.
Yep.
Hey.
Well, it was a long time ago.
A long time ago in a galaxy in an employer far, far away.
Far, far, far away. Yeah, so how do you want to do this? Do you want to just go through the show, or do you want to, like,
I figured we play the Tony Todd thing up top after the news that's non-existent. Starting a new audio file. It has been started. It's been started. Oh, Holly, you should start and say,
say what?
You should start. You should do the opening so they don't think I'm here. And you can say that we're, you can say, this is, welcome to Synthaholics. This is, what did I say? Dave Ronley? Like for all three of us to be Tuvix?
Oh.
Oh, no. I don't think anybody would get that joke.
It's Dave Ronley.
Dave Ronley.
Yeah. Holly, you want to go?
If you want me to, I don't know what's Dave Ronley.
It's us for Tuvix, all three of us.
Okay, got you.
Dave Ronley.
So if the joke is that they're not here, why would I say that?
Well, no, we all split up. We all split apart after you say our name.
Oh, okay, got you.